We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2019 and April or May, or I'm sorry, August of 2020 or April, May of 2021. And he's going to play zero professional baseball games between now and then. How far away do we really think this guy is? And if, granted, during a normal season, you might not bring him up right now. He's not what you'd consider totally ready. You don't need him in a regular season. And you can make the argument you don't need him now, because what does any of this mean to the Giants? The answer is probably not much. But he's not playing professional baseball games. And it seems to me all the development stuff, the goals you have for him, are goals that would be better achieved by playing professional baseball games. And since the only professional baseball this year is at the major league level, to me, the idea of, well, if we bring him up and he's not quite ready, he might be ruined forever, I just don't buy it. And now that's just my personal opinion, but I don't buy it.
Let me split the difference. And we don't have confirmation. We suggested earlier that in Sacramento, all they're doing is playing glorified grab ass. But we don't have confirmation of that. So we don't
they're definitely
know
not
that.
Playing professional baseball games.
Right. But I can understand if the Giants, and of course, we will talk to Farhan about this at 5, if the Giants feel, look, we just think his development is better served keeping him there. Okay, I could accept that. But I still think, well, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that you have to have a catcher who's committing, catcher's interferences at the drop of a hat. On the text line, JP in Berkeley, what the hell is going on with the batter interference calls? That is just unacceptable. I know we talked about this last week. That word is thrown around far too often. Oh, it's unacceptable. Well, what are you going to do? Well, if you have a catcher, you can't have a catcher at the major league level who keeps habitually committing catcher's interference. I know last week, I think they signed, I don't know where he is now, Chris Herman, a guy, a major league veteran. He had been a major league catcher. You have to get a major league caliber catcher, whether you're rebuilding or not. And then Heinemann, you know, send him to play glorified grab ass until he learns not to do that. To me, that is unacceptable. That's just not major league baseball.
Your fascination with the GGA league is starting to amuse me a great deal.
Well, I'm not amused by catcher's interference. And I have nothing against Tyler Heinemann. That's a great story. He and his brother were on the field last weekend when the Rangers came in here. And as I said, he's done some interesting things offensively. But, oh, my goodness, I've never seen anything like that. I know this is a year when we're seeing a lot of things that we've never seen before and hopefully we'll never see again. But I don't think that one should be on the list.
Okay. I mean, they clearly don't look at Rob Brantley or Chris Herman in the same way that they look at Heinemann. I don't think they have long-term plans for Heinemann. So fixating on his shortcomings, it will be amusing for a few weeks, but then that'll be done. Because next year they're going to have, they're going to have Posey back. Bart almost certainly will be up by then, would be my guess. And they kind of like Trump, if for no other reason than he's 25 rather than being, 32. So
I'll go with Kolsky on this. If Kolsky tells me I'm making too much of it, I will drop it. Again, you said, well, you can't spend too much time on his shortcomings. If Heinemann's not playing well, that's one thing. But just multiple catcher's interference should not be committed by a catcher at the major league level, in my humble opinion, Matt. But I'll go along with you on this.
No, I'm with you, Whitey. To me, it's like, what if you had a young relief pitcher who you wanted to be your closer, and three times in the first six chances, he balked in a run?
Mm-hmm.
he's fired. Like, he's gone. That's it. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if catcher's interference is quite that extreme, but especially if he's not in the long-term plans. Why is he in the short-term plans? And again, no offense to the Heinemann family.
Right.
God bless. But
absolutely.
If you can't do the basic things required of a major league catcher, like, you know, set up far enough behind the batter that he doesn't hit your glove when he swings, I don't know if you can stay.
Yeah, and I like your term. I'm going to start calling catcher's interference. That's a catcher's balk. Yeah, that's what I'm going to start calling it now. And I know the rules are a little different, but oh, yeah, the dreaded catcher's balk. So, yeah, Farhan joining us at 5 o'clock today. Just wanted to circle back and touch on the A's because what they're doing is so amazing. Luzardo last night made his first start. He was amazing. He was electric. He was fun just to watch. A left-handed pitcher who I think you felt the same way, Matt. You derive pleasure just from watching him throw a pitch. It's like, oh, my goodness, that's pretty. And then, of course, the walk-off, Piscotty yeah. with the walk-off grand slam. There's a lot of positive things, many positive things going on there with the A's right now.
Two incredible things about Luzardo that we failed to mention earlier. Number one, fast worker. Gets the ball and throws the ball. That's what I like to see. And so is Lance Lynn, by the way. It was a nice paced game between the A's and Rangers last night. The second thing, I don't even necessarily need to see him throw a pitch. Just the glare from behind the glasses over the glove is a beautiful thing, you know?
Well, it's the first time that they've really stretched him out. He pitched 5 days ago through 67 pitches in 3 2/3. Last night, it was a full five. And I think they're trying to ease him into being a full-time starter because – last year, he just came out of the bullpen. And I think they've been sort of very careful about how they sort of produce his innings. And, you know, it just, it's not truly analogous, but it's a little bit like Bart, because a lot of people were listening to people rave about Luzardo before they brought him up. And they did not bring him up in any kind of hurry. And it's why I keep going back to the notion that they must know things about development we don't, A, because we're not very bright, and two, because they've been doing this. And Joey Bart's only real credentials so far is that you don't like the other catchers. He hasn't had even remotely the number of at-bats you would want a guy you really want to have behind the plate for a decade. I mean, and that's their thinking on him. But getting back to Luzardo, they've been real careful with him, in part because of the arm problems, but also because they want him to build up to being a starter. And this was essentially his first real bona fide start of this year. And last year he was coming out of the bullpen for the most part. And yeah. I think they've had a more rational approach to it than most people do. When you have a guy that good, the temptation is to bring a guy up, you know, as soon as you can. And, you know, it rarely works well, is my point.
But totally different circumstances. You're right about Luzardo coming up and the A's being more patient. The A's had a great year last year, and I know the pitching was not starting pitching wasn't a strength, so people were wondering, well, where was he? And he came up, and as you said, he pitched out of the pen and pitched well, but the A's were playing well anyway. And the Giants right now fans are struggling for something to feel good about and feel positive about. So it's a whole different set of circumstances and expectations comparing when Luzardo came up last year to why Joey Bart isn't up now. And I don't even care if Joey Bart hits 240 as long as he doesn't commit any catcher's interferences. I'll take that.
Well, maybe the fans have to eat it for a year. You know, I mean, I hate to put it in those terms, but you knew what this was going to be when it started. You knew what this was going to look like. And
that's the beauty of baseball, Ray. You never know in sports. You never know in sports. That's the beauty of it. That's why we have shows like this one to talk about.
No, that's not why we have shows like this one. We have shows like this one because it sells ads. You know, as far as baseball goes, there was nobody on the planet who looked at this team and said, boy, that has some promise this year. They're right now, they're probably overachieving given what their run differential is. This is who they are. Strap in. The ride's not going to be fun. That's the deal.
But none of what you just said is a reason not to bring up Joey Bart.
Unless they believe that Joey Bart is not ready for this kind of, you know, development jump.
We will find out at 5 when Farhan joins us. Coming up, how close did MLB come to shutting down last week? We're going to find that out from MLB Network's Adnan Virk. That's coming up. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on YDN for Damon, pardon me, on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hello. Happy Wednesday. Whitey in for Damon. Damon Radokolsky, 95.7 The Game. So excited to have Farhan Zaidi coming up top of the 5 o'clock hour. Well, right at 5 o'clock. So top of the hour. Yeah, and Adnan Virk should be joining us from DAZN, from MLB Network, to tell us how close MLB came to shutting down last week. We talked about that last week. By the way, Ray, Kolsky and I were totally right about that, and you were 100% wrong about why the commissioner was saying what he said, and he clearly was pointing fingers. But I'm the type of guy, I'm not even going to bring that up. You said, no, you guys, that's not what it's about. It's what it was about, but I'm not even going to bring that up. So anyway, and then Virk's
yes, having up. Brought it up, you did a great job of not bringing it up.
You on the text line.
Your picture's in the dictionary next to passive aggressive.
Really? Well, it's nice to have your picture in there. I didn't know that. Pete.
You're famous.
That's Pete. Yeah, Pete West Coast of the East Bay says, guys, Ray is completely correct. All last year, A's fans were screaming for Lizardo. Well, yeah, but they eventually got him. I mean, I know he didn't start, but he did pitch last year. I don't know if we're going to see Joey Bart at all this year.
The A's pitching staff has had depth over the course of the last 2 years. The Giants' catching position has none right now.
Yes.
So that's a that's an important difference. And another important difference, maybe more important in my view, Jesus Luzardo pitched all of last year in professional baseball games. Not all of them at the major league level, but all of last year he pitched. Joey Bart is not playing right now. Now, he's working out. I'm sure they're doing simulated games. I'm sure there's things that are being done. But they're spring training things, not professional baseball things.
All of which is true, but until they show us differently, they view his best chance success at doing that. And it's you have to be able to answer why he's down there. You have to also at some point come to grips with the question, with the answer to the question. Well, what do they think about 2020 period? What do they think about how their rebuild is scheduled? I mean, I don't think Joey – it seems pretty clear to me Joey Bart was not going to catch this year under normal circumstances except in a September call-up. I mean, it just – I don't see that they view this with even remotely the level of urgency that you do, even allowing for your newfound phobia about catcher's interference. I think they're telling you what they believe. I think that what they're telling you is we're willing to eat this year because Joey Bart's development is not served well by having him up here. And
yeah, that's of course, obviously they think that right now. What I'm saying is I disagree.
Well,
I'm not questioning the reality of what they're doing. I'm saying I'm questioning whether it's a wise decision.
Try this on, and I don't know what's going on in Sacramento. We've talked about that already. If he's not getting a lot of quality at-bats every day, if he's not right now and hasn't been, then perhaps he's really not in condition, if you will, to be brought up and to start facing major league pitching. Now, I don't know, but I could see how if he's really hasn't been facing good pitching every day and getting his 4 or 5 at-bats every day and then spending time in the cage, maybe the Giants feel like, you know what, he isn't ready to face major league pitching right now. I don't know if that's the case, but I could certainly see how that would be a reasonable way to look at it, depending.
Right. Let's play that out, though. What you're saying in that scenario is that every day away from live hitting gets him further away from the major leagues. So isn't it just going to get worse and worse and worse over the next couple of months? And aren't we then reversing his development in what is a bad way? So how does that
help? It could be, but I'm also suggesting that if he's not ready to face major league pitching and you just throw him in there, then that also is, runs counter to his development. Again, who knows? But
maybe. Yeah. But my instinct is this, and this is where I think I disagree with a lot of baseball general managers and baseball people and baseball prevailing wisdom. And I'm not. Who knows if I'm right because they haven't tried it. It seems to me like if Joey Bart is really going to be good, really has the potential to be very good someday, and his bat is a little short of where I'd want it to be under normal circumstances to bring him up to face major league pitching, it seems to me that unless he has a real crisis of confidence, bringing him up and seeing what he's got for a month is not going to hurt his development more than not facing any pitching in under real circumstances. I have no proof for that, but that's my instinct and my opinion. And why, if I was in charge, I think I would bring him up now, especially as it's become clear that nobody else on the roster is really a major league catcher either.
And I guess, and that's why I keep going back to the question, and I'm not defending any of their other catchers, whether they view 2020 as sort of a lost season by definition.
But what does that have to do with it?
It has everything to do with it, because if they don't think Joey Bart is ready, you know, finding out he's not ready in games that they don't view as vital does matter. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, and again, we're going to get this all answered in 37 minutes anyway. You know, they clearly look at Joey Bart and say, he's not going to be helped by playing at the major league level right now. They're making that judgment, and they're making it based on a number of scouts who have watched him. The fact that he's had no at-bats in anger, you know, above double A and very few at the double A level, they're looking at him as clearly not ready. And I would defer judgment on whether that's a good idea until you see him. What if next year they start him off at triple A and he can't hit? You know, but on the other hand, what if they start him at the major league level and he can't hit, or he can't frame pitches, or he can't handle a pitching staff? There is a lot more to being a catcher than just swinging the bat.
And yeah, I think and they also clearly want him to be more than a catcher, Ray. They want him to play a little first base too, and he needs a lot of work there as well.
Well, they can't do everything all at once.
But this is my point. If you start him off next year at triple A and he can't hit, would it have made it worse if he'd gotten 15 games at the only available professional baseball level this year and also not hit? That's where I come from And we don't know the answer, but my instinct is no. So I would just as soon see him. And when I say see him, I don't mean just for the fans. I mean for Farhan. Look, Farhan knows more about Joey Bart than I do, quite obviously. He's seen more. He gets it. He has specific goals, and I'm sure they make sense. All I'm saying is he hasn't seen him at the major league level. And, in fact, the only places he's seen him in the last year are against major league pitchers at spring training where he didn't seem way out of his depth. So how do we even know if he's ready or not? How does anyone?
Some interesting thoughts, pardon me, Matt, on the text line, 888-957-9570. Remember, if you have a question that you'd like us to ask Farhan when he joins us at 5, let us know at 888-957-9570. From the 510, next year it'll be the same damn excuse. We can't bring him up because of service time. At some point it has to stop. Well, I don't think that's an issue right now. It's a fair point, except I don't think it applies right now. Someone else? Yeah, from the 510, everyone wanted Christian Arroyo to come up, and he's not even in the organization anymore, so be patient. I made that same point last week, and Ray shot that down. He said, well, Christian Arroyo's still in the majors. So I tried to make that point, but I know Ray doesn't agree with that one. And from the 925.
Now you're missing.
I'll come back to you. I'm poking at you. I'll come back to you right after this one. Hey, guys, if this is a washout year, there's just such a few games anyway. Why wouldn't you try Joey out anyway? That's from JP in Berkeley. Ray, the floor is yours.
The only thing I said was that Christian Arroyo didn't last with the Giants, didn't make him an incompetent player. People still view him as a quality major league player of some sort. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on a roster. It's just part of this is just timing. It's the Giants are, I mean, we're going to turn it back to Bart again, I know, but they're looking at Bart and they are all saying he's not ready to do the stuff people want him to do at the major league level. And what we're talking about here is fan impatience. That's what this is. And the fans don't get, I mean, they could be impatient all they want, but they'll just be fools.
But it's
the
more
Giants
than
have
that.
Told you
Some
what
people,
they're
it's not
gonna,
just fan
No, it's not more than that. This is exactly
it is.
What it is. You would not take you would not take Farhan's word under any circumstances as it matters to Joey Bart. Why is there no great hue and cry about Elio Ramos?
He's 2 years younger would be one reason, I believe.
It's not just about fan impatience, Ray. That's part of it, but there are some fans who feel like that the Giants and Farhan and Joey Bart would be better served if he were brought up. That's just a fan's opinion. It's not just, I want to see him right now. Here's this text really sums it all up, I think, expertly. Is he getting better / developing? That's the only standard that needs to be set. Wasting his youth if he's not, regardless of taxi squad or MLB. From the 925, text of the day nominee. So that's incumbent upon the Giants, obviously, to evaluate where he's going to develop better, and right now they feel like it's in Sacramento, but a lot of fans, it's their opinion, hey, I don't see why he can't be up. Now, maybe they're wrong, but it's not just a matter of impatience. Fans and people like Matt Kolsky, who's more than a fan, they just think Joey Bart is better served if he's playing at the major league level. Am I right, Matt?
Yeah, and specifically, I'm asking the question, what about his development is better served by staying in Sacramento in extended spring training, essentially, without any live at-bats or live catching in any meaningful way? How does that serve his development better than being here? I understand that clearly the Giants think it does. I'm questioning that thought process. And I think so far, the only response to that essentially seems to be, well, if you bring him up when he's not ready, it might hurt him in the future. And I'm just not sure that I believe that to be true. And I don't. And whether that's conventional best baseball wisdom or not, no one can prove one way or another if it's true or not.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to step on the discussion, but I think we've reached that impasse. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't see that a great crime is being done to him.
No one's saying a great crime is being done. We're simply asking the question, how is his development served by not playing real games?
And we will find out at 5 o'clock from Farhan. We will find out. Meanwhile, here's what the commissioner would have us believe about Major League Baseball and protocols. Hey, the Marlins are back, by the way, right? The Marlins, they won the National League East leading Miami Marlins. How about that? The commissioner believes the health protocols the league has in place are working despite outbreaks of coronavirus on the Marlins and Cardinals. He's calling for vigilance from all parties, though the league will institute some new measures in the coming days. He also says he's not a quitter, which is the most laughable thing any commissioner has said in a long, long time. But Rob Manfred says, I think the vast majority of our players have done a really good job adhering to what are difficult protocols. They're contrary to the way people normally live their lives. But he says the protocols are working.
No, they're not. And as far as him not being a quitter, that's him telling the networks, oh, no, no, we're going to give you the inventory you asked for. That's all this is. It's not really clever about it. No, it's the only thing he's saying is I'm not a quitter. Well, nobody said you were a quitter. No, nobody. Hell, people would wish you were a quitter. But
I know.
He basically because the timeline. Remember, the rumor over the weekend was he not only had talked to Tony Clark about, you know, possibly ending the season. He had also talked to the network heads. And now all of a sudden he's coming out and saying, oh, no, 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 I'm not a quitter. We're going to keep going. What the message he got from the network heads is, then you're not getting paid. And that was the shot across the bow that actually wasn't across the bow because it hit the boat. They basically said, well, you're not seeing a dime if we don't get the inventory that we're paying for. And that's
did you guys hear that? Pardon me, Ray. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. But did you guys hear that last night the Marlins playing in Baltimore game delayed. Why? Because they had to await some test results that they didn't have back yet. That actually went down in a major league game. Hold on, test results, we're still awaiting. Can we play? All right, play ball. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, because they're in a hurry. They want you know, Miami to get these games in because they don't want that as like one of the things that stands out as, oh my God, they've only played, you know, three games in 13 days because they're, you know, I mean, they rushed tests. They rushed results. They didn't care about the protocols they've been setting because they're doing this all by seat of the pants, and the seat of their pants is telling them the networks want their games. I mean, it could not be clearer.
The protocols, like, this is classic bad faith nonsense by Rob Manfred, because he knows damn well the protocols aren't working. I guess what he's trying to say is that we kind of halfway contained this thing within the teams that you've already heard about. And I'm not sure we really even know that yet, but maybe that's true. And if that's true, fair enough, and I guess good job on that one part of it. The problem is these protocols that you say are working amount to a list of suggestions that some players are following and some aren't. And we don't really know which players are or are not until we find out after they test positive that they were at a strip club. So I would suggest not only are your protocols not working, but that you don't even, strictly speaking, have protocols so much as like some ideas you floated the player's way and crossed your fingers that they'd listen to. And the notion that that would be whatsoever sufficient is pure nonsense.
Yes, of course it is. I mean, just the way they have sort of jerry-rigged the start of this season tells you that. They are going to do this at nearly any cost. And I think the thing that scared the hell out of them more than anything else was not Miami getting 18 guys on the list, but that St. Louis all of a sudden got guys on the list out of nowhere. And then they immediately told a story about, well, some of them went to a casino. Then that turned out to not be true. It turned out to be, according to John Mozeliak, their general manager, it turned out to be somebody who's not, you know, who was asymptomatic and with the team, but not in any kind of official capacity, was responsible for it through no fault of his own. I mean,
and what, you know, does that mean? Like, who's what it the means team is in just, an unofficial capacity right now? That doesn't seem reasonable.
I don't know. I mean, he didn't get into any specifics. It could have just been a random chance meeting. All I know is either they don't follow the protocols or they don't follow the protocols.
Exactly.
And however you explain it, you don't have protocols if you're not enforcing them. It's like having a law that you never enforce. All it is then is a suggestion. And what they've had is a series of suggestions with the bottom line being, well, whatever else happens, you're going to play when we tell you to play. And the fact that Miami cratered and St. Louis cratered is of the same consequence to them. They don't care.
Yeah.
They are playing these games.
Somehow, some way, they are still playing. I didn't think they'd still be playing, but I'm glad they're playing. And that's enough on the virus for now. You know, you can go round and around in circles on that. And yes, top of the hour, Farhan Zaidi is going to join us. We'll get to the bottom of many of these Giants questions, including, hey, what about Joey Bart? What's going on with Joey Bart? I wanted to take just a moment here, speaking of basketball, to ask you guys about this. John Dickinson and I were talking about this Monday, and then I saw a lot of people, I think it was at NBCSportsBayArea.com, a lot of people were talking about it. I'm not saying they got it from us, but it's something that a lot of people have talked about. You watch the Toronto Raptors playing in the bubble. And, you know, Marc Gasol is a free agent, and what a fit would he be for the Warriors next year if they could get him to take the mid-level. And I know he's not the player he once was, but can you imagine how well Marc Gasol would fit with the Warriors and Steph and Clay? I get goosebumps just thinking about that, because I think that would really be a great fit for all parties concerned. I know you don't get a lot of goosebumps thinking about sports, Ray, but that's where I am.
I don't know if it is something that would give everybody concerned goosebumps. It might not give Marc Gasol goosebumps. He might not want to play for the mid-level exception, given the fact that
true,
you know, this year he's playing for $25 million. He might decide.
He ain't going to get that kind of money, though.
No, but he might get something more than the mid-level exception, in which case, you know, it just that's the thing. The Warriors,
well,
the Warriors
true.
May think he's a delightful signee, but if he's got any other options that pay more money, why would he go to a Golden State?
I also think you have to keep in mind that the mid-level exception is one of, and depending on how much money Joe Lacob is comfortable coming out of pocket with, perhaps the only way for the Warriors to add a player. So if they do draft James Wiseman, they might need to spend that mid-level on a wing player as opposed to a big, just out of roster spot necessity. But if they're not going to draft a big, I love it. I love the idea of it. You're absolutely right about the fit. A big
That's what
guy
I'm talking about.
Who's going to play D, who's an elite passer for the position, who can set screens with the best of them, can stretch the floor a little bit now, too. He basically gives you, other than athleticism, everything you want at that position as the Warriors. So I don't think there's any question. If you could get Marc Gasol for the mid-level, that's something that's going to appeal to the Golden State offseason, big time.
Yeah. And do you think maybe Marc Gasol, maybe, hey, I would like playing for that team. Wow, that would be fun, and I think it'd be a really good team. You're right, Ray. Of course, you're absolutely right. But it's possible, and just as I think of him playing for the Warriors, I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch. I think everyone would play. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the sort of decision they're going to need somebody to make, right? If they can't use their mid-level exception on somebody who has the ability to make more money elsewhere, then they haven't done a great job, I would say. Does that make sense? Like, they will be heading into the offseason looking for someone to say, yes, I will take less money with the mid-level exception with the Warriors because I want to play with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and compete for a title.
Yeah, no. He'd have to take a massive haircut to do that. And he would have to believe unreservedly in the Warriors because he is at an age where he's not going to have a lot of years left.
But so he's going to take, don't you think he's going to take a massive haircut either way? Because he's not playing anywhere near the level he was when he got the contract that he's on now. And bless him, that's great. But he ain't going to get the kind of money he's getting now. So he's just looking for a barbershop, but he needs that haircut, and it's coming.
He could probably get 10 or 12, though.
Yeah, a haircut is coming, but I don't think it's going to – I think there's going to be somebody out there who's going to say, you don't have to take a $16 million haircut and go to Golden State. We'll give you a $12 million haircut, and you'll be happy here, and you'll get minutes, and we'll make you very happy. So
just as a random example, do the Lakers have anything particularly settled next to Anthony Davis?
Why did you have to
that's an excellent question.
So there will be options for guys like Marc Gasol, but look, who knows? It's going to come down to little things that we don't know about Marc Gasol, what he decides in that respect. And, you know, we can look at the $25 million and say, gosh, who wants to go from that to 7 or 8 or 9? But we could also say, heck, when you just made 25 for a few years, maybe you're not that worried about those couple extra million.
Or maybe you do worry about those extra $4 million that you won't get. Or maybe he figures that's my last payday.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't know. We'll find out this summer. Yeah, I mean,
that's the
thing. We do know this. JaVale McGee's on the books for the Lakers next year. Dwight Howard is not. So thank you, Lucas.
There you go.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Farhan, top of the hour, 888-957-9570. If you have a question for Farhan Zaidi, he's joining us top of the hour. Giants ain't great, but they got to be better than that, right? That's coming up. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Whitey in for Damon, 95.7 The Game, and that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Damon. Damon Ratajkowski, 95.7 The Game. Farhan Zaidi coming up top of the hour. His first visit to 95.7 The Game. We've got so much to ask him about and talk to him about. And just want to express our gratitude because Farhan doesn't need to come on the radio with us. I believe there's another station in town that may or may not have some Giants games, and he's got some obligations there, if I understand correctly. I don't pay that much attention to these things. Point is, he has no obligation to come on radio with us, so we very much appreciate that. We look forward to that 5 o'clock. What's the number one question with Farhan? And we'll get to all of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Is it Kapler? Is it Joey Bart? Is it what is the plan here? Where is this team going? What do you think is the most pressing issue we have to discuss with Farhan today?
I think it's the long-term plan, but I suspect I'm in the minority there, because the long-term plan involves a lot more than just Joey Bart. But I think Joey Bart is the question of the day, because their catching has been shambolic and their defense in general has been shambolic. And people want this team to get younger, and they want to see the promising prospects that they've been promised. So to me, it would be the overall plan and whether how well they're adhering to it. But I'm guessing Bart.
I don't know that there's anything. I'm just not sure what the answer to what's your overall plan is, because I think the answer is, well, we're gonna build a World Series contender. And I think how you do that is the question, but I think we even have a better idea of that than we do about more granular questions. Well,
I was just going to say the philosophical question, you know, it will be ferreted out through a bunch of more specific and granular questions. I don't think the question is, tell us about your philosophy. It's tell us about your philosophy as it, you know, pertains to X, as it pertains to Y. And from there, we would ferret out what the philosophy actually is, as opposed to a grandiose analysis of, you know, pie in the sky 2024 Giants.
Right. And I think those granular questions, to me, I think Joey Bart is one of them. And I think answers on Joey Bart will tell you things about the team's philosophy. But I actually think the more pressing questions might be about the manager. I mean, here we have a guy that was handpicked and who has made some who has on one hand done very specific and interesting strategical things that I think we believe Farhan is at least in part responsible for. And on the other hand, has made some very obvious mistakes that, you know, that's Farhan's guy making those mistakes. So I think his where he stands on Kapler, how he evaluates Kapler, how he evaluates a team in a short year like this. Those are the things that I'm interested in.
Yeah, everybody's got an out this year, right? I mean, everybody, Farhan, Kapler, all the players, hey, this year, right? I mean, and it's true, and I think it's fair to a degree this year. Wow. I will say this, though. Farhan, to this point, if you talk to people both inside and outside of the organization who are familiar with the organization, not just the big club, people will tell you that so far he's done a very good job of restocking the minor league system. And I know the response to that from a lot of fans will be, okay, when are we going to see these guys? Well, we'll see them sooner rather than later. But people who know what's going on with the Giants and what was going on with the organization before he got there say that, you know, the cupboards were bare and he's done a pretty good job to this point in terms of restocking. We just haven't seen the fruits of that labor at the major league level yet.
Yeah, well, and that's why I don't like the trivialization of the Joey Bart question to fan impatience is – of course, there's fan impatience exists, and I think everyone would love to see more of Marco Luciano and Elio Ramos and all the young guys that have been mentioned. Every high draft pick, Hunter Bishop, for that matter. But I think the conversation around Joey Bart is more than that, because there are other parts of it involved, including, you know, what's the right thing for the development of a player who I think we all agree is reasonably close, if not totally ready. So that to me, I think we in fact probably learn more about Farhan's overall philosophy on prospect development when we ask these Joey Bart questions than we actually learn anything about Joey Bart specifically.
Yeah, I mean, again, he could reveal a great deal with a couple of answers, or he may reveal nothing at all. But I think Bart is only part of a much bigger worldview. And, what is Patrick Bailey to them? What is Luciano? What is Luis Toribio? Where does Jalen Davis fit in all this? I mean, it's because
Do we know where Jalen Davis is right now? Quickly,
he's in the player pool. Sack.
Yeah, he was sent to sack. He's in the player pool right now.
Okay, so he wasn't outright optioned. He was just optioned down to the player.
He wasn't
pool.
Kicked to the curb.
Got it.
Or he was kicked to a curb 90 miles away. But it's a curb they can still get to.
Don't you call Whitey's hometown a curb.
Vallejo's my hometown. I'm from Vallejo, California, mister.
Where do you live
I
now?
I thought maybe you reestablished. You might have reestablished, you know?
Yeah.
Where do you live now?
I'm all over the place, Ray. Currently, I'm speaking to you from, from the state capital, but it's not my hometown. I could have spent 50 years here. It's not my hometown. That's all. Now that I get to
where do you get your mail?
Vallejo is my hometown.
I treat that somewhat differently. Like, I hail from Evanston, Illinois, in Chicagoland, and I represent my roots. But if you ask me where's home, it's Oakland, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where do you get your mail, Whitey?
Mail? No one ever sends me any mail. I never get any mail.
Okay, what's your
gets his mail at whiteygleason@whatever.com.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Let's simplify this. What's your PIN number?
I can Could I just get my social? Please. Would that be all right? Yeah, let me get my social out. To me, if you ask anyone, me or anyone, what's your hometown? It's where you're from. Now, you guys say, no, it's where you live. I understand that. That's just to me. You ask me, what's your hometown? It's not where I'm living. To me, you ask, what's your hometown? That's where I'm from. That's the way I answer the question. Agree to disagree.
You're like E-40. You represent Vallejo. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at SF State, and a bunch of buddies of mine said, hey, let's go around and look at all the landmarks. I was like, okay. And we went to, is it St. Mary's? That really nice church up there, Goff and Geary, whatever it is. And we go in there, and a bunch of my friends were Catholic. I was like, okay, I'm Lutheran, so like we're the original, you know, we don't like this. But whatever, we go in there, and yeah, the priest says, whoa, where are you lads from? And I'm from Michigan. I'm from Truckee. And I said, I'm from Vallejo. And the priest goes, Vallejo, that's the armpit of the Bay Area. It's like, you can't say that. Yes,
a priest
said that. Yes.
Well, it must be true.
I mean, he might have been speaking for God.
There you go.
He might have gotten divine inspiration. Oh, yes. Trust me. As your divine creator, I tell you, Vallejo is the armpit of the planet.
I was floored. It's like, wait, what did you say? And everyone's laughing. So anyway, I'm very proud of Vallejo, California. But yeah, Sacramento's where the Giants have their, what do we even call it, Ray? Their camp? Their minor league camp right now?
Their game of grab ass?
Well, Ray doesn't like me talking about that.
No. I gave you an acronym for it. Use the acronym.
The GGA? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, I think you should probably ask Farhan if he'll develop that and maybe make some polo shirts with it.
I don't think we're going to ask Farhan about that. But that's the beauty of live radio. Who knows what is going to happen?
In 25 minutes, I bet we get to that question.
Yeah. Bottom line here, Farhan is doing what was inevitable, right? I mean, at some point, the Giants had to pay the piper for 3 World Series in 5 years, and they resisted it, and they put it off, and they put it off. In 2016, classic example, do we start to rebuild? No. Let's get Samardzija. Let's get Cueto. And then, let's bring in Melanson. So what Farhan's having to do here, it was inevitable. Not a pleasant task, but it had to happen eventually, and it falls on him during his watch.
Well, maybe even more specifically, it's the job he was hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2016 set them back a ways because they were a really good team for half a season. You wouldn't tear that up. And then they cratered. And it never got better after that. That's the thing that, you know, makes this slightly less maddening. I mean, you're not going to take a team that's 53-33 at the break and just go, you know what? Screw it. We're not even going to bother. In fact, not even 57-33.
Right.
They had one of the best records in baseball. And then everything after that, it deteriorated. And no, it didn't even deteriorate. It collapsed. I think they might have started the rebuild earlier if they thought, you know, 2016 wasn't a harbinger of still good things to come because they didn't make changes in 2017. And they didn't make change, you know, even – and, you know, that team won 64 games. And then the year after that, it was 73, and, you know, it was too late at that point, you know. Now you have to retool, but you really can't while you've got the manager, you know. And then the year – and then last year, they won 77 with a team that, frankly, should have won only 70.
Yeah, one of Boach's best managing jobs right there.
Yeah, you get caught in those projections of what's the record as opposed to what should the record be, and you start thinking you have more than you do. But now it's clear this is who they are now, and you know there is no more street left to kick the can down.
If there was a mistake made in there, it was the self-evaluation after 2016. Because clearly the evaluation, like the report that they got back from that evaluation was, we had a good team, we had some bad luck down the stretch, with a couple additions, we're right back in it. And the diagnosis should have been, this is the end. And I think if they had said, this is the end after 2016, this team might be in a position by now where they're competing again. But you understand why they didn't. And you understand why that would have been hard to do, given that the roster was largely made up of guys that had been responsible for two or three world championships with this roster, and guys who, while getting older, were not so old that another run seemed impossible, right? I mean, they were just Giants in fans, a tough spot.
You're right. I think a lot of Giants fans will disagree, maybe even consider this sacrilege, but I think another thing that happened was that 2014 team, I still don't know how they won, and they won legitimately, and you win a world championship, and that's great. Flags fly forever. But I remember when that team clinched the wild card, and a lot of Giants fans were going, oh, my goodness, this team's terrible. Well, they won the freaking World Series. They overachieved in the postseason in a manner that very few teams ever have. So I think that perhaps that clouded their judgment a little bit too. Maybe they thought, well, this team's better. This team's pretty good, right? They're still at the pinnacle.
That was kind of their MO,
the 2014
right?
was like, that was a miracle. I don't know how that team did it, and bless them, Bumgarner carried them all the way. That was an incredible season.
That was one of the things that always made it hard to judge the Giants, I think, is
they'd be
kind of like, I don't know if they're that good. They don't seem like they have enough talent top to bottom on the roster, but then they go win a World Series, and you go, well, what the hell did I know?
Yep.
And in 2016, you know, they lost to the Cubs in the division series, but they didn't get routed.
No, they couldn't.
They were in all of those games, essentially. You know, so I could see where they could get a false positive about that.
Yep.
It was what happened after 17 that made it clear. I mean, that's the year when it should have, you know. I get why they would have made the judgments they made after 16, because they still had gone 87-75. They still beat the Mets in the wild card. They still gave the Cubs all they could eat in the division series. Why wouldn't you think you could squeeze more out of that?
That's fair.
And I think I think the problem was that in 17, when they cratered and lost 98 games, that should have been the hint. And that but they plowed through with that, they plowed through with another year after that, and then they brought in Farhan.
Farhan is coming up first. Want to welcome you to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.